Let's turn in God's Word to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 26. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. God's words, or God's people, we come now to hear His word. So give your attention to the God who is living, who speaks to us people, His people. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. These are God's words. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot not through ignorance he did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." And those are God's words. So here we have a miracle and a sermon. The miracle performed to make way for the sermon, to confirm the doctrine that was to be preached for the purpose that the gospel would go out and all the more power, and the church would expand very quickly in these, the early days of the church. The miracle was the healing of the man who was born lame by a word, and that through verse 8. And this man went out walking and leaping and praising God and entering the temple with Peter and John so that the people saw him. And you see here the expanding of the gospel and church after Christ's ascension, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit starts pretty much at the temple in Jerusalem. Not only does it start in Jerusalem, it starts at the temple. And here, from here, we'll expand to the nations. And then verses 12 through 19, Peter started preaching to the Jews to confirm how the man was made to walk and moves right to proclaiming the crucified and risen Jesus Christ, whom they had previously denied and killed. And so he called them, verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And he from there calls them to believe on Jesus, lest they perish forever. And so it is with each and every one of you here. You are to repent and turn unto Jesus for life, lest you perish forever. You are called to come and believe upon Jesus, who has denied and killed, whom ye crucified, and now is risen from the dead. He is alive and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful again for our mediatorial King Jesus Christ, who reigns over all nations, over all creation, and is head of the Church of Jesus Christ on earth. We're thankful for the kingdom of the gospel and the kingdom of power, that you're a God who has used many of your saints to bring about many of your people to yourself. We're thankful for justification, for declaring us righteous in your sight. We're thankful for adoption, in which you bring us into your family and make us sons and daughters of God, that we would, by the Holy Spirit, cry out, "Abba, Father," and pray to you and seek your name and seek your face. We're thankful now that you are sanctifying your church. And we pray that you would sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. That you would cleanse us of all of our sin. That by the Holy Spirit you would cause to mortify all the sin that remains within us, that we would put it to death and hate it and flee away from it to Christ your Son and imitate Him alone, following Him fully. And Father, we ask that you would change us, sanctify us in our minds, our hearts, our desires, and our emotions, and all thought, word, and deed, and all that we do and say, for your glory, that your name would be praised, that we would not go forth from here and live however we want, focusing on the things of the world and having as our life's aim worldly things, but rather that we would wholly enjoy communion with Jesus, your Son, and focus our life upon Him and enjoying Him forever. Our Father, we praise you for the gospel promises found in the covenant of grace. We're thankful that you're the God who is faithful to each of those promises in Christ your Son, and that you will bring us home as we now consider, as we're in the wilderness of this life, as aliens or strangers or pilgrims. And we pray that you would uphold us and bring us home at the right time. Father, we ask that you would uphold our bodies and the many who are frail and weak, and more frail and weak this week than previously. We ask that you would strengthen our bodies to serve you, to live for you, and not be consumed with fear and anxiety, but that we would trust you to provide exactly what we need for today and let tomorrow handle its own cares. And that as our Father, you would provide for our every need and protect us from all evil, and even the evil one who desires to devour us. We pray that he would not get a foothold, and you would not allow him to have a foothold within any of us or upon any of us. And where we are allowed to be tempted by him, according to your will, we pray that you would uphold us, for we are weak and unable to do it of ourselves. And so, Father, we pray that you would uphold us by your Spirit and by your grace. We pray for our nation and our rulers, or the civil magistrate, and the many spheres from the local to the highest level of our nation. We pray for their souls, that you would turn them to yourself, that they would bow the knee to Christ your Son, who reigns over them, and that they would kiss him and covenant with him and turn the people's hearts and call the people's hearts to look to Jesus and to worship him truly according to your word in the gospel churches of this nation, that all false religions would be put away and put down, for they are Satan's, and we desire that his kingdom be destroyed on this earth, not exalted. And so, Father, may you even work through our magistrates to bring that to an end. And, Father, we pray that you would cause that constitution of this nation to be amended so that it comes into submission to Christ your Son, and they would exalt in his name as their king. That's what we desire. And alone you can bring this about. As we think about what man can do, man cannot do that. And man cannot save them. And we certainly can't build your house. And so, Father, we come to you, relying upon you, the great God who is sovereign over all, and ask for your mercy upon this nation. There are great judgments that continue to come against us. And so we pray for your mercy and your grace, that even for the few righteous who remain in this nation, we pray that you would spare us. We pray also for the church, that you would build up your people, build up the body of Christ. We're thankful again for the Lord's Supper and celebrating the Lord's Supper today. Pray that you would truly feed us and satisfy our souls in Christ your Son, and strengthen our faith, even as we come to the close of the Lord's day. And I pray that you would make us to be faithful, as Christ has always been faithful. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.